How are you today, Cheech?
I'm good, I'm good. Yes, you are just dazzling in your TV. That's not your debut this season, though, is it?
You've not been on before.
No.
Yeah, that was the second appearance. It was the first time I brought the velvet jacket with me.
Yes, you did have the dinner jacket on. Yes, your smoking jacket. I knew you'd like that.
Yeah, I knew you'd like that, Cheech, because you're a man of style and substance. In fact, I can tell you this. I don't know how much of it has gotten back to you, but the silver fox look that you've gone with this season is being widely applauded by Canucks fans this year.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I'm glad. It saves me about $150 every 6 weeks.
Good. Hey, these are pressing times. We all have to do what we can, Cheech.
Yes, yes.
Well, it's a good look. Unfortunately for the Canucks, not a great look on the ice last night. Boy, it started well, and then all of a sudden it got frittered away. Do you look at that last night as a point earned because they salvaged something late, or a point lost because of how it started and how it ended up?
I would say a combination of both. They'd be disappointed for sure that they blew a 2-0 lead. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But the fact that you were down late in the game and you were still able to get a point. And I heard you talking about the teams that you have to beat. You want to beat them cleanly. You don't want to be giving up points. And now you gave up 2 points to Calgary. And you talked about Toronto and Montreal, and you can't give points away to them. You have to win some of the games against them. But you figure Toronto and Montreal are in. Ottawa's out. So the four Western teams, you've got to beat two of them.
No question about it. And unfortunately, they were only, for the Canucks' perspective, they were only able to beat the Flames once in the past three games. Though, on balance of play, I mean, how, if you were scoring a boxing match of the nine periods, forget about overtime for a second, of the nine periods they played against Calgary, how many would you give to Vancouver?
Oh, yeah, I'd say, well, six anyway. Because you look at the shots in the second game, and at least six. I'd say at least six. The second period last night, I thought the Flames played pretty well, and but you get goaltending and you get timely scoring. I think that's the thing with the Flames right now is Jacob is playing so well, and you don't like to make excuses, but he's been able to play so many games because their schedule has been so relatively easy. They've had one back-to-back. So Jacob's played almost, Riddick's played two games.
Yeah, they're going to get some back-to-backs coming up, but you're right. The schedule has allowed for him to play the type of workload they envisioned him playing this year.
Yeah, yeah, and he's off to a great start, and Chris Tanev's been so good. Killing penalties and stabilizing that defense. And it's let Jeff Wart cut back on the ice time of Mark Giordano. He's playing 3 or 4 minutes less a game. And Rasmus Anderson has turned into a really good defenseman. And Johnny Gaudreau has had a resurgence. So, I mean, they're getting and Michael Backlund not playing last night. I think that's an advantage for the Canucks. He didn't play much. He played, 4 minutes on Saturday, too? He didn't play much. But you see what happens when your star players and everybody's rolling. You see it in Toronto, and you see it in Montreal. And Montreal hasn't played as well lately because they're Suzuki and those guys haven't been scoring as much. Tyler Toffoli has been getting the odd goal, but they were so hot at the start, and now they've kind of calmed down. But that's the thing with the Canucks is their star players just haven't caught fire yet, and they've been getting some chances, but they have to start scoring. And if they don't start scoring, then they win a game, and who are the three goal scorers? Quinn Hughes, Tyler Myers, and Brandon Sutter. You know, you hope that you're getting goals from everybody. And Brock Besser last night, that was a big goal late in the game. And that's what the Canuck needs is Pettersson, Besser, and JT Miller. And Bo. Those four guys, if they can get scoring again.
John Garrett joining us this morning on Sportsnet 650 as the Canucks wing their way to Calgary for the finale of their four-game series with the Flames. You mentioned Besser, and you allude to the lotto line. One of their more dominant games of the season, not from a points perspective, but just from the way they tilted the ice, controlled play, was on Saturday. How much do you credit the Flames with taking some of that away last night, and how much of that was just on the line not functioning the way that it's able to?
Yeah, the execution, and I think you really see it on the power play. And last night, Tanner Pearson scores. It might as well have been a power play goal. So the second unit starts the second one, because the first unit, even after a TV timeout, the first unit looked so disjointed on the first power play that the second unit started, and then they scored on the 5-on-3. And that was a really good play, and JT Miller made a good play there, faked the shot and got Chris Tanev to overcommit, and Bo Horvat scored, but they just weren't executing as well as they normally do, and passes in the skates and not being able to control passes. And we saw Elias last night, I think it was on a power play. It might have just been 5-on-5. A pass that normally, it's like he's got Velcro on his stick, and last night he was looking at the blade, and it was almost like it was one of those rubber ball hockey blades, the way they were handling the passes. And I think that's one of the things when you're playing with confidence and everything goes well, and last night the execution just wasn't there.
Well, and Miller's been a big part of that as well, and his decision-making on some of his passes has been very questionable at times this year. And I spoke with JT Miller yesterday morning, and he sounded confident, but I don't think we're seeing the same level of confidence on the ice. And part of that is he's just not shooting the puck the way he did last year. He was ripping it all the time. He's deferring to passes. I can't get inside his head. I don't know exactly why it's going this way, Cheech, but what don't you see enough of from Miller right now that you saw most of last year?
Well, I agree with that, the shooting, but also the driving to the net. I mean, that's one of the things that you watch and you say, okay, he's got his shoulder on a good position on the defenseman, and instead of taking the puck to the net, he ends up a little button hook and making a pass and not shooting when he should shoot, and missing the net when he does shoot. And he led the team in scoring last year, and a lot of it had to do with just the way he got on a roll and just kept it going, and everything that he shot would hit the net and make the goalie make a save.
Brock Besser on that line scores again last night. He's already up to 11 goals this season, Cheech. Because of all of the Canucks problems this year, and because they haven't won enough games, it feels like it's an underreported story that he is among the league leaders in goals. The production is one thing, but there's a way he's playing this year, and how much of that is different than what you saw the past couple of seasons?
Well, he really looks healthy to me. I think that's one of the things with Brock, as you can tell, and he'll play through minor injuries, wrists, and he had that rib injury, and he played with that, groin problems and things that he's had in the past. But he looked healthy coming into this season. He looks strong. He looks a little quicker. And now you watch him in battle for puck along the boards, and 9 times out of 10, he comes up with it just because he looks stronger. And everybody knows that he shoots the puck as well as anybody in the league. And gets himself in position, and I think once Elias starts going again and JT, that'll open up even more ice for Brock. And like the goal last night, it was a great shot, and JT got in front of the net and a good screen. And if they can just keep it going and get back to where they're playing more in the offensive zone instead of in the neutral, and you watched last night, there was a couple of times where they got trapped in the defensive zone and spent Calgary changed lines while they were still in the defensive zone. And you hate when your best offensive line just never touches the puck.
I want to go back to something you said a minute ago about Markstrom. Hey, the schedule has allowed him to play almost every game for the Flames this year. There's an opportunity here, if the Canucks want to keep running Thatcher Demko out there. I doubt they're going to do that, but he's played 3 consecutive games. Did you look at a guy last night that should be in the net come Wednesday, or a guy who maybe needs to get back with Ian Clark for a day of practice?
Oh, I would play. I think they'll play Braden on Wednesday, and give Thatcher a little more time. Especially the last couple of games against Calgary, Canucks have outshot the Flames, and you're not as busy, and you start to think about the game too much. I thought Thatcher last night, there was a couple of times, and the power play goal in overtime, and okay, it's Johnny Gaudreau, and it's a one-timer, but it's a 4-on-3 power play, and if you're the goalie, you're anticipating who's going to end up with the shot. You look at the four guys out there, and he's past the face-off dot, and chances are you're going to guess that Goodrow's going to get the shot. Even you could figure that out, Scott. Come on.
Even I.
Yeah, even you could figure that out. And I didn't think that he anticipated that very well, and it was kind of through him, and the breakaways that you give up, and the Canucks have been giving up so many breakaways, and Calgary plays a breakaway game. He stopped Gaudreau on a breakaway in the third period, a big save, kept the team in it, and they were able to get a point and all that sort of stuff. But his record at home is way better than on the road, and Braden hasn't played in a while. And so I think Braden will probably play in Calgary, and then save Thatcher for, and as you said, here comes Winnipeg-Edmonton, the other two Western teams that chances are you beat those two teams out.
I want you to start your line of questioning to Demko the next time with, look, even Rintoul could have figured out that's where the shot was coming from. What were you thinking?
Yeah, that's where the shot is coming from. Whether you get it or not, that's a different thing. But
different story, but even Rintoul figured that out.
Get over there.
Yeah. I'm just happy you made it through the broadcast last night, because when I saw you, I thought you'd be inconsolable about the way the Leafs lost that game.
Yes, I really was heartbroken. And it was so funny to watch their bench and, you know, oh, I can't believe it. We're so good. We're too good to have this happen to us. Come on. I did kind of enjoy that. You're right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people across Canada did, but they have to do so with the realization that what you just said is actually true. Like, the Leafs are really, really good, and they're probably going to end up running away with this division in the regular season, John.
You think they're that much better than Montreal?
I didn't think so a couple of weeks ago, but Montreal's play has been a little bit spotty. And I know every team's going to go through a little bit of a ditch, but I've actually been impressed most of the year with how much more responsible from a five-man unit perspective Toronto is playing.
Well, that 2-1 Montreal win the other night, I thought, well, okay, that was a real tight game, and Carey Price was good, and I thought Montreal, okay, now they can challenge Toronto, and, you know, is it going to make a whole lot of difference whether you finish first or second? I don't think so, but I think Montreal is going to be right there.
Well, I think Montreal, like, if you asked me right now to put some wager on a playoff team, I would put it on Montreal. I love the way they're constructed in the back end. I still think Toronto, come postseason, is defenseman away, but regular season-wise, I can see them continuing to rack up points and Matthews continuing to rack up goals.
Yeah, but you said they were going to run away with the division.
Yeah, they might. They absolutely might. Like, look at their record right now, and it feels like they haven't even been hitting on all cylinders. John, like they're already a couple points up on Montreal. We've raved about the Habs and how well they've played so far, and Toronto's sitting there at 11-3-2, and it feels like there's more to give still.
Yeah, did you watch the overtime last night and see the way Austin Matthews came back on that one?
I can't believe they didn't score, first of all. Like, I don't know how that puck stayed out of the Senators' net, and then Dadonov goes the other way. There was a nice tie-in, of course, it being family day, and the guy they call Daddy being the daddy at the Leafs last night.
Yes, that was nice. That was nice. I liked once it turned over, though, and then the Leafs just, oh, okay, either you stop it or this game's over anyway, because they just stood there around center ice, and Morgan Rielly waved at him a little bit, but not too hard.
Hey, I was disappointed for you last night. I mean, one of your great thrills is being able to go to the rink and have appetizers, and can't do that in the COVID times, man. This must be really difficult for you.
I know. They have the White Spot restaurant open on the third level for home games. But Shorty and I do the road games from at the rink, too, and it's dark and cold. And then they turn the lights up to make it look like something's happening, and we're doing the games off monitors. Yeah.
Can you do reservation?
We bring our own snacks, though, now. We bring our own snacks, and Shorty is trying to pretend like he's trying to lose weight, and he's making his own salads and things. It reminds me of Murph.
Do you have a standing appointment at a local drive-thru?
Yes.
Like, can you call ahead?
Yeah.
No, forget the mobile app. John Garrett's on the line. Here's what he wants. Have it ready on the curb as he drives by this intersection. Let's make it happen, buddy.
Yeah, really.
Thanks for doing this, Cheech.
No problem.